Your hometown newspaper of the year brings you What's Doing in Western Michigan. What's Doing in Western Michigan, a transcribed roundup of the news and views from the cities, towns, and countryside of Western Michigan, is found in the daily and weekly newspapers received in the WKZO newsroom. Here's your reporter, Willis Dunbar.
Good afternoon. Sometimes, all too often, a community waits until the death of a youthful citizen to pay him honor. Last week, there were several happy exceptions to that pattern. In various ways, communities paid tribute to the living. The Sturgis Journal carried a lead editorial wishing Judge John S. Flanders, who was 88 years old last Thursday, a happy birthday. The editorial cited Judge Flanders' long record of service to the community. He's been a lawyer, postmaster, mayor, editor, businessman, and since 1930, the municipal judge. The Journal reckoned up that he had devoted a total of 310 years of service to Sturgis. And plans were laid in Marshall last week for a testimonial dinner tomorrow evening honoring Mrs. L.D. Carpenter, according to the Marshall Evening Chronicle. Mrs. Carpenter, who is 74, has long been known in Marshall for her works of charity. The dinner is being sponsored by the Business and Professional Women's Club. In Three Rivers, the Three Rivers commercial last week carried a story and picture of Fred Bierstetcher, who has served as fireman in the city for 60 years. He started back in the days of volunteer fire companies, and he was a member of the Wide Awake Hose Company. He remembers the day when he rode it to a fire behind prancing horses. In Parchman, the Parchman News finally got all the members of the Waltheis family together for a nice picture. Mr. and Mrs. Waltheis have 14 children, ranging from John, who's 23 years old, down to Jimmy, who's just 2. The Republicans have been holding their Lincoln banquets throughout the area during the week. Calhoun County Republicans assembled at Battle Creek last Thursday, while the champions of the GOP in Kalamazoo dined on Friday, according to the Marshall Evening Chronicle. Allegan County will pattern its Lincoln celebration after an old-fashioned political rally. It's scheduled for next Saturday night, says the Allegan News. St. Joseph County Republicans have postponed their annual affair due to the illness of the county clerk, according to the Centerville Observer. Several counties chose their cherry pie baking champions last week. The Marcellus News tells that June McNeil of that town won the Cass County prize. A Sturgis girl, Janice Bothamley, was the St. Joseph County champion, reports the Sturgis Journal. Over in Van Buren County, Joyce Schilling of Hartford carried away the honors, according to the South Haven Daily Tribune. And the Marshall Evening Chronicle announced that Phyllis Arnold of that city was Calhoun County's best. At the state contest, which was held in Grand Rapids on Friday, the first place winner was Miss Ruth Lyons of Livingston County. Several communities were studying plans for new school buildings last week. In Vicksburg, the debate over suitable sites for the proposed new school continues, according to the Vicksburg Commercial. The Ionia Board of Education decided last week to submit to the voters on March the 22nd the question of raising funds with which to build a gymnasium. Except for two bandbox-type gyms in the city's grade buildings, Ionia never has had a regulation school gymnasium, according to the Ionia Sentinel Standard. In Galesburg, citizens heard Dr. Wilford Clapp say that the pupils would pay with a makeshift education if the community cuts corners in providing facilities. Postponing construction by renting quarters, using two rural buildings, or having half-day sessions would be possible if that is what the community wants, according to Dr. Clapp. Dr. Clapp is associated with the Department of Public Instruction, story in the Galesburg Argus. The Sturgis Journal announces that the Department of Public Instruction has approved a plan to consolidate 18 school districts around the town of Colon into one rural agricultural school district. There were several fatalities from automobile accidents in the area again last week. A prominent Sturgis businessman, Jesse G. Kirby, met death when his car slid off the road near Big Rapids, according to the Sturgis Journal. A truck driver who parked along the road for a nap and left the engine of his truck running met death from carbon monoxide gas near South Haven, says the South Haven Daily Tribune. He was Willard Kuhlman of Holland. And near Holland, a 27-year-old man, Richard Herringsma, was killed when his car hit a tree. His wife was killed in a freak automobile accident in Texas just a few months ago, according to the Holland newspaper. But there was a lighter side to the news last week, and here is my colleague Bob Tazelaar to tell you about it.
To start with, Dr. Dunbar, here's a cheerful note from the Lowell Leader. An ad for the Club Diner says, "Men, don't get the little women up these winter mornings. Be a little considerate. Get your breakfast at the Club Diner." In Cassopolis, a man was arrested on a charge of taking a dolly out of a truck. His bond was set at $500, in lieu of which the county is boarding him, says the unusually lively Cassopolis Vigilant. The Lawton Leader says that the head of a local police force is a fellow named Tiny Irons. Tiny cracked down last week on the kids who play in the streets and try to catch rides on passing cars. The Three Rivers Commercial got a letter from Tommy Bronstetter last week addressed to Santa Claus. Well, maybe Tommy, like the rest of us, would like the Christmas spirit to last a little longer. And here's one for the books. The name of a man who's been dead for 10 years was drawn for jury service in Ionia last week, says the Ionia Sentinel Standard. A Holland newspaper contained some peculiar want ads last week. Among the things wanted were a 12-foot boat suitable for a car top, 4.5-foot bathtub, a standing desk for a bookkeeper, and used batteries for a chicken brooder. And now back to Dr. Dunbar.
Well, Bob, over at Allegan, Uncle Enos Gay is in the news again. The editor of the Allegan Gazette says that he went by Mr. Gay's place last week and he found it dark. He was alarmed because the old gentleman is usually sitting at home of an evening listening to WKZO. The editor knocked on the door. This is his story. And Uncle Enos appeared. He said he'd decided to do without electricity because the utilities would have to raise their rates to pay the corporation's tax, which the governor has proposed. When the editor reminded Uncle Enos he couldn't listen to his radio any longer without electricity, Uncle Enos took a defeatist attitude. He said the news is all about new taxes anyway. Now, we regard this as an extremely serious matter. It has come to our attention that Uncle Enos used his old crystal set up to last fall when he won a new instrument in a raffle at the county fair on a ticket purchased for him by a certain gentleman associated with the Allegan Gazette. If Uncle Enos is determined to keep the current turned off, we suggest that he resurrect that old crystal set. And just in order to help him get it in shape, we're sending him today one dry cell. The W.K. Kellogg Foundation has made a grant of $67,000 to the Hastings Hospital Fund, according to the Hastings Banner. The foundation has poured more than $1.25 million into Barry County's health and educational establishments. Funds are now available through local contributions, a previous Kellogg grant, the new one, and federal funds to construct a new wing on the hospital that'll cost $421,500. The building may start in the spring. Orchids to the new editors and publishers of the Middleville Sun and Caledonia News for the first two issues of the paper under their management. Three members of the Rowe family have taken over the publication, and it has a new, attractive makeup and very interesting news items. The state has ordered Ionia County to close its jail, largely because the jail's a fire hazard, says the Ionia Sentinel Standard. The Belding Banner News tells that the local junior chamber of commerce there put on a rip-roaring home talent production last week that had the town in stitches. The Lowell Ledger tells that a local woman has just published her sixth volume of poetry. She is Sadie Fuller Seagrave. Holland lost a prominent citizen last week through the passing of the Reverend Egbert Winter, longtime professor of education at Hope College. And the people of Holland are debating about their famous festival, Tulip Time. According to the Holland Evening Sentinel, there is some sentiment for gradually making the festival less pretentious, so that in time it will become what it was originally intended to be, just a local community affair. The Pawpaw Courier Northerner tells that the Van Buren County Board of Supervisors has leased the Van Buren County Park over on Lake Michigan to the South Haven Optimist Club to be developed as a recreation area summer and winter, for clubs and civic groups. The people of Fremont will be interested in hearing State Senator Don Vanderwerp, who will be our guest this afternoon at 4:30 on the program The Lawmakers. The Lawton Leader tells that the State Highway Department is now using paper snow fences on a stretch of M-40 between Pawpaw and Decatur and a stretch of U.S. 12 west of Lawrence. The Allegan Gazette tells that Allegan is planning a Business Education Day program in which teachers will visit local industries. The Allegan News reports a proposed new city ordinance to prohibit electrical interference with radio reception. The people of Vicksburg will vote March 14 on the hours for closing the village tavern, says the Vicksburg Commercial. Maybe you thought shuffleboard was just a game for the Florida resorters. Well, that's not the case. The Vicksburg Commercial tells that that town has two teams which compete on the court they have in the Vicksburg Hotel. The Three Rivers Commercial tells that 350 farmers attended the annual meeting of the Constantine Cooperative Creamery Company last Wednesday. And that's quite an organization, by the way. It paid out over $2.5 million for cream and milk to the farmers last year, and it churned 2,665,437 pounds of butter. The people of the city of Bronson are very proud of their new theater, which was opened last week. According to the Bronson Journal, it's beautifully equipped with all the latest devices, such as a smoking room and a cry room for the babies, a snack bar, and even adjustable seats. And those adjustable seats, by the way, are new of the newest design. They're in use in only three other theaters in the world. The Charlotte Republican Tribune reprinted last week a long article from the Christian Century magazine relating to the troubles at Olivet College. Next Tuesday evening at 7:15 on the program Western Michigan at Work, you'll hear about one of Charlotte's leading industries, the Wilcox Gay Company. The editor of the Charlotte Republican Tribune, Merle H. Defoe, is generally regarded as one of the best political analysts in the state. Last week, he wrote at length on the governor's proposal for a corporate income tax. Being a Republican of long standing, one might expect him to be highly critical. Surprisingly enough, he was not. He said the state's got to have more money, that the governor's political opponents will have to find something better if they reject his proposal. He cites the statement of D. Hale Brake that the tax would drive corporations out of the state, and says that that's a pure myth, because if they moved out, they would soon find themselves in a similar situation. He sums it all up by saying the legislature has no other alternative but to pass a state income tax, and he thinks the corporation tax is preferable to that. The Centerville Observer carried a stimulating editorial last week proposing that the town try to find out why it fails to attract and hold so many of its young people. The editor says that one high school graduating class of 19 have all left town. Now here are the late state news items and the weather forecast.
That's true in the cotton textile field.
And that's what's doing in Western Michigan. We'll be back next Sunday at 12:15 with another transcribed edition of your hometown newspaper of the air, and what's doing in Western Michigan.